The views and opinions expressed during this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of Cox Radio Dayton. AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio WHIO, presents the newest Ask the Expert show, Shooting from the Hip. It's an hour of straight talk about firearms. When can you carry? How long do you have to wait to purchase a firearm? What about safety, training, and so much more? Your host for Shooting from the Hip is Jeff Pedro. Jeff is a 24-year veteran police officer and currently assigned City of Kettering Detective. As owner and lead firearms instructor for SIM training, Jeff is here to bring to the microphone the truth about guns. Here's Jeff on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio WHIO.
Welcome, listeners, to this episode of Shooting from the Hip, brought to you by Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor shooting range and firearms training center. I'm back after a week layoff. Mark's been covering wonderfully for me over the last week or so, and we got a few things we need to alert the listeners to. First of all, I want to mention to you that next week will be our last week on the air for about 10 weeks because we're going to be preempted or replaced by the UD Flyers football games that will be going on from about the 12th of September through about the 3rd or 4th week of October, depending on how well they do in the tournament. But we'll be back right after that. So
go Flyers.
That's right. I want to encourage our listeners to stay tuned to WHIO, News Talk Radio, and to come back to us in the latter part of October
November.
When we come back on...
End of November.
Okay, end of November. Yes. I'm sorry. It's right after Thanksgiving. We'll be back on the air. And in the meantime, there'll be some promos going on, and we'll be alerting you to a number of events that we'll be having over the next 2.5 months. They'll be running on WHIO News Talk Radio at various times throughout the week. So we won't be totally gone, but the UD Flyers will be replacing us on beginning on September 12th. And... again, I just want to encourage you to come back because I want to let you know that in the 3.5 months that we've been on the air, we've made a difference. I know that based on talking to people, just talking to the typical citizens and listeners out there in the audience and talking to other people in the shooting community that by listening to the show, by getting involved in some of the legislative things that are going on, the legislative process, by calling your congressman, by letting people in the industry know what your concerns are, they're responsive to that. And I want to report today that just as an example, I know about a month and a half ago we were all worried about ammo. Well, just yesterday I picked up 25 cases of ammo. So stuff's starting to come more and more available. Glock, for example, I just got an order of Glock guns, 10 guns from Glock. They'd been test fired about 2 weeks prior to the date that they were delivered, so they're pushing them out as fast as they can produce them. They're doing a great job, and pretty much across the board, with the exception right now of 45 ammo, which is a little bit difficult to get. Almost everything else is in pretty much is readily available and available for purchase. So
even 380, were you able to get any 380?
No 380.
No 380. Yeah, that's been tough everywhere. Everybody's been having trouble finding that.
And I think until they get totally caught up on the 9mm, that's going to still continue to be difficult. But I'm just glad to report that things are starting to break. Just last week, a couple people ordered Bushmaster A3 M4 rifles with removable carry handles, and the places I called had 15 in stock, so I was able to get two on the spot. And just as recently as early part of this year, you couldn't get one, and I had been waiting on several since September of last year, so they're starting to come onto the market pretty readily.
You mentioned Glock just a minute ago. Of course, we talked to Glock when I was at the NRA annual meeting, and they had said that they were running at twice their normal production rate just to try to keep up. They were 4 months behind. That was back in May. You know, that's pretty close to where we are right now. So, in a week, that is consistent with the numbers that they told us and the rate at which they were producing, trying to catch up with the demand that was higher than anything they'd ever seen.
Yeah, that's one thing I just want the listeners to understand, that Glock was tremendously responsive to the shooting community, and they probably did the greatest, made the greatest changes and implemented additional assembly mechanisms at their plant to kind of meet some of that need, and I think you need to reward them by giving Glock a serious consideration when you go to make your next gun purchase.
One of the things that they discovered as they increased their production up past 45,000 guns a month, which they were at 30, they had found that they couldn't produce the boxes fast enough. They were making the guns, and they were able to increase their production rate of the firearms, but the injection molding machine that they used to make the guns could only make 30,000 in a month. And so they had to start importing empty boxes from the plant in Germany in order to have boxes to put in for, to sell people out. That's how fast, how much they had increased their production. There was nobody in any of the sales staff. Everybody was out on the floor doing production, doing whatever they could to make guns. So, yeah, you're right. They really did step up to the plate.
They've done a great job. I know that several of the other manufacturers, Ruger, SIG, and Beretta, they've all done a great job also. But I just have to kind of push Glock as being exemplary in that regard, because they've done a tremendous job providing product to the shooting community. And like I told you earlier, I think you need to give them consideration when you go to make your next purchase, because they put out a great product. I know that's something just by default, not necessarily because we totally promote it, but by default, that's the gun that we put between 80 to 90% or more of the people that come to our classes and take our private training, because they put out a darn good product and it works for people.
The one thing that's a problem is that if your hand doesn't fit it, there's no adjustment. So yeah. It's just, you know, it's a fairly large grip, and if you have short, stubby fingers, the Glock probably won't work for you. But what we found is that the Smith & Wesson M&P series, with its adjustable backstrap, has been the fill-in for anybody that wasn't able to fit a Glock. And that's a great gun also.
Yeah, a lot of guns on the market that are going to be functional and suit your needs. And I just want you to give some consideration to what we've talked about in the past. And before you go to make that purchase, come and see us and let us help you make that decision. And in order to kind of incentivize you coming to see us, we're going to be running a few promotions tomorrow. Actually, today and tomorrow. First of all, I want to mention anybody that happens to call in today at 457-1290. Call into the show with any questions, concerns, or issues you might have. We're going to give you a free first shots class for yourself or anybody you want to send to that, because we want to start or we want to continue to get people involved in the first shots program, get them acclimated to shooting, help to increase their passion for shooting, and then they'll become lifelong shooters. In addition, anybody that comes tomorrow between 1 and 5 comes down to the range at 2031 Dryden Road. That's 2031 Dryden Road between 1 and 5 p.m. We're going to offer you half off our CCW class on September 26th and 27th.
And I'll tell you, we never give that kind of a discount any other time. It's usually a $25 discount. Half off that $150 price is a great deal.
Yeah, this is a reward for our listeners because you've been so great to us, and we want to give back a little bit to the community. So half off the CCW class. You got to show up in person at the range between 1 and 5 tomorrow. That's for the September 26th and 27th Saturday-Sunday class. I'm also going to be offering free use of range guns for the remainder of this year, and a $25 discount for anybody that comes in and purchases an individual or family membership. We'll also add on to that, and Mark thinks I'm giving away the farm, but I'm going to add on a one-hour private lesson because we feel that it's so important. That can be their individual private lesson, or if you bring yourself and some family members, we'll include them too to get them acclimated to whatever gun or guns that you already have or that you might be interested in. And it's kind of a package deal that we're going to put together for you to kind of give you some incentive to get into the range, start shooting recreationally, start learning a little bit about shooting, and it'll really help you. And we've found it to be tremendously useful. And I got to say, Mark just pointed out to me, we've already got four callers on the line, so we're going to go to them pretty soon. Pretty amazing when you offer people some incentive.
It's a great deal.
That's right. It's a great deal. But this deal with the individual membership or the family membership and the free group or individual lesson is going to benefit you because not only will you be able to come down there and start shooting, but you're going to get some professional expertise to kind of get you started.
Well, and one of the other things is if you don't already have a gun and you're looking to get a gun, don't go out and buy one first. Come down, get a little bit of practice with the different guns, see what works for you. The worst thing you can do is to plunk $500 or $600 or $800 down on a gun that is perfect for somebody else, and then it doesn't work for you, so you wouldn't be able to shoot it. And that really is unfortunate. We see that all too often. So, but let's take a call. Let's go talk to Bob in Eaton. Bob, you got a comment for us about Glocks?
I never shot a Glock until I had to get one for work. And now I have one. My dad has two. I bought one for my wife and had her go to the shooting course for concealed carry.
Right.
So I can't say enough good about it. My wife, the way they recoil, really works for somebody that has, you know, not real strong hands, because they feel like they recoil more straight back.
Right, and then that's part of the reason for that is because you get so high up on the backstrap, you're right underneath the slide, there's very little gap between the top of your hand and where the slide starts to come back, so that line of force is very nearly right into your hand. So that, yeah, you're right. That's true.
You know, I got to add to that that I was a SIG guy. Still am. I've carried a SIG for over 20 years, and but I'm real impressed with the Glock. Once we went into business, we found that the Glock proved to be very useful. And one other advantage or one other example was my daughter, who just got in law enforcement a couple years ago, I broke her in with a Glock. And when she came to the police department, they allow them to purchase either a Glock or a SIG. But we went ahead and kept her in the Glock, and she ended up going to the Ohio State Patrol Academy and performing real well with that Glock, and now she carries it on duty, and she's one of only a few people at the department that have Glocks, but it's a very functional gun and proven to be very useful.
Bob, thanks for giving us a call. Let's go to Ken in Dayton. Ken, you have a question about some of the gun laws.
Yes. I was wondering, is there any state, federal, or local laws prohibiting a person with a CCW permit to carry law enforcement brand ammunition?
No. That's not a brand. It's just a style. It's a type of ammunition. And, in fact, that's what we recommend, is because that's what the police use it for personal protection and for making an ammunition that's effective against a target that's a threat. And that's what we highly recommend. It should be either marked for law enforcement use or for personal protection. That's perfect. That's exactly what we recommend.
Okay, thank you very much, then.
Hey, thanks for giving us a call. We're at the time that we need to take a break, so let's go out, and we'll be back in a few minutes after we pay a few bills. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro with Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Rachel Parsons, spokesperson for the National Rifle Association, and you're on Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
And welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery here with Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip. We'd like to give you a little heads up as to what's coming after the show. Normally, we have Clark Howard that follows us, but this week, if you'd like your voice to be heard on national healthcare, WHIO is going to be presenting a special radio town hall healthcare debate. So Jason Michaels from WHIO and Dr. Patrick Dawson are going to listen to the arguments and then voice your concern on the radio. It's the WHIO Healthcare Town Hall Special this afternoon at 3 p.m. right after the news, brought to you by New Image Eye Center in Springfield on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM. So keep your radios tuned to it. Even if you're those of you who are listening from outside the area, if you'd like to call, you can call 937-457-1290 and get in on that debate as well. So let's go back out to the phones, because we've got several people that are still called in. Talk to Mark in Englewood. He has a question about concealed carry.
Yeah, I've got a concealed carry. Just recently got it. I'm looking for something. I found a pretty good deal on a Colt Mustang. It's a 380. I don't know much about that weapon. I've not heard a lot about it. I just wondered what your take is on it.
Well, Mark, let me first of all ask you, what weapons do you know about?
Well, I've got 9mm, but they just seem to be a little bit big in the summertime to conceal carry.
Well, I would encourage you to stay with the line that you're already used to and you already have, rather than going to that Colt 380. 380 is a good round, don't get me wrong, but if you had a 380 in a pistol that was similar to the gun that you currently have, you currently carry, you have, that you're most familiar with, because remember, under stress, which situations...
Well, I understand that. My dad was in law enforcement. I've shot weapons my entire life.
Okay.
It's just, for me myself, I would like to have something to possibly fit in my pocket, or, you know, something that's smaller than obviously I've got a Glock, and it's 9mm, but by the time you try to conceal it in the summertime, you just really can't.
Okay, let me just tell you, I've been carrying a gun for over 25 years, and just from experience in a variety of different scenarios, the differences in basic functional operation under stress are going to come to the fore, and they're going to be an obstruction and a distraction. And I'm telling you, not only from personal experience, but watching people in high-stress scenarios in real situations and also in simulated situations, it doesn't work well. Now, that 380, depending on its configuration, if it has a safety on it, if it requires different mechanical operation than that Glock that you currently have, you're going to have to practice with it.
And as long as you practice with it and you let that be your primary weapon, and when you go to the range, you spend time practicing with that as much as you do the recreational gun that you shoot, you're going to be fine, and I don't think you have a problem at all. Colt makes good guns. And the reason I kind of jumped on that question was not at you, but about 50 to 80% of the people, I'm going to use that as a broad generalization of the people we deal with, they go to the gun show on a regular basis and they buy a new gun, they put it in their holster, and they think they're ready for a gunfight, and they're not.
Right.
And that's why I brought that up.
Let me add something to that also, and that is that I carry a Glock 23, which is the same size gun as the 19, except it's in 40 caliber, and I carry it all the time. I carry it in the summertime. I'm wearing shorts right now, and it fits in just nicely. But you just have to find a holster arrangement that works for you. I'm currently inside the waistband holster, works pretty well. There are also, of course, some people don't like the fanny packs, but frankly, they work pretty well, and most people don't recognize that that's what's in there anyhow. So there really are options that you can carry the gun that you are most familiar with. Switching back and forth between a manual of arms on different guns, even though you may know how to operate it beautifully, and even though you can practice with it, it's just that much more difficult to get as automatic with all these different types of guns as you can with one that you carry or one style. Like if you go with a Glock, then it doesn't matter what caliber it is, but all the Glocks operate exactly the same way.
Right.
Yeah, let me share with
that. Thank you for your information. I love your show.
Okay,
hey, great.
Thank
thanks
you very
for
much.
Calling.
Let me share with our listeners one other personal experience related to that last issue. About 2 or 3 years ago, I was in a training class where we had to draw our primary weapon, fire a number of rounds, and then draw our secondary or backup weapon. Well, I was carrying a Sig Sauer P226 9mm as my primary weapon, and then I transitioned to a Sig Sauer P232 380 as my backup weapon. Well, for those of you that know that gun, the magazine release on that 380 is underneath the stock is underneath the grip, whereas the magazine release on most other weapons, including my backup or my off-duty gun, which is a Sig Sauer P239, is in the normal place where a magazine release is right there on the front edge of the stock. And when I was in that stress fire situation for a brief moment, I double clutched because I was trying to go to that location where I'm so used to that magazine release button being, and there was no magazine release button there. And I shoot all my guns a whole lot. So I just want to caution our listeners, when you make that decision, transitioning back and forth between guns that have different types of functional operation in order to make them work is a dangerous venture.
Yeah, the only way you can test that is to do it under stress, and that's very difficult to do on your own. That's one of the reasons why we have on Tuesday evenings at the range, we have our Tuesday Tactical Training League, where we give you some opportunity to shoot under prefabricated stress, and it gives us you're working under a timer, you got people like me yelling at you, and we set up a course of fire that makes it difficult. You have to think through the process and make it work. So we're at the time for the bottom of the hour news, and so Charlie will be here with the news and give you an update. Thanks for listening to Shooting from the Hip. Give us a call at 457-1290, and you're with AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
God bless America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back, listeners, to this episode of Shooting from the Hip. I'm Jeff Pedro. With me is Mark Avery today. I want to remind our listeners about some specials that we're running down at Sim Trainer. First of all, anybody that calls in today is going to be given a free first shots class of their choice throughout the remainder of the year. Also, anybody that visits the store down on 2031 Dryden Road tomorrow between 1 and 5, we'll be giving you half off our CCW class on September 26th or 27th, but you must come into the store and register for that. In addition, we're going to give, for anybody that comes in and purchases a individual or family membership tomorrow between 1 and 5 at the range in person, we're going to give you free use of a range gun for the remainder of the year, and we're also going to give you 1 hour of either individual or group instruction by a trained NRA and or OPATA certified firearms instructor. We've got several callers on the line, and Mark, why don't you go ahead and call one of them up right now?
Well, let's talk to Dave in Springfield. Dave, you have a question about mag springs.
Yes, sir. I'm just wondering about my CCW, and I have a weapon that I carry occasionally, but it sits loaded all the time, of course. And I was wondering what kind of precautions you should take to ensure you don't have a spring pump in a magazine.
Well, Dave, that's a question that comes up quite frequently in my line of work in law enforcement and anybody that carries a gun for a living. But the basic thing there is to whenever you don't need to use the gun, there's no reason for it to be loaded. However, the other side of that is if it's going to need to be readily accessible, there's really no harm in it staying loaded for prolonged periods of time. Then the question comes up about what do you mean by prolonged periods of time? What you have to do periodically when you clean your gun every 4, 5, 6 times is check the springs to make sure that they're operating the follower the way that they're supposed to. And as you do your practice range firing, make sure that it's feeding the rounds into the chamber properly. And if you start to have problems and you go through a elimination process and you determine that it's the spring that's causing the problem, then you can either purchase a new magazine or simply replace the spring. And that's a very inexpensive venture. But the general rule is if you don't need to keep the gun loaded for prolonged periods of time when it's going to be, or the magazine's loaded for prolonged periods of time when they're going to be stored in a safe, then just go ahead and unload them, put the rounds in the box or in some kind of a container, and then when you get ready to use the gun, then go ahead and load it back up. But it's generally not a problem.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for your call.
Thanks very much for calling the show. Let's go talk to Chris in Washington Township. Chris, are you on the air with us? You have a question about shooting laws?
Yes, I do. I live in Washington Township, and I butt up against Yankee Trace Golf Course in Centerville.
Okay.
And last Sunday, I was caught shooting at my farm. I got about approximately 4 acres of land, and I got a little rifle range set up, and I was shooting, and I got about a 20-foot backdrop, big hill in the back. And anyway, the Centerville Police Department shows up and tells me I can't be doing it. And I told them I was in the township, and I am allowed to shoot my weapons. And anyway, the sheriff showed up, and we all walked down to my shooting range, and the sheriffs were in agreement that, you know, it was safe and it was okay, and the Centerville Police Department didn't like it.
Well, I'm going to turn this one over to Mr. Pedro.
Yeah, actually, Chris, that has been a topic of discussion all week throughout the law enforcement community. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Okay.
And my official professional opinion is, I think you need to look in it further. There's no question that you have total authority to shoot in the township. But the people who filed the report indicated there was no doubt to them, and one of them was a ex-military soldier, and he said there were rounds passing over his head within reasonable proximity. Now, I don't know about the specificity about what was happening, but several people, several witnesses wrote out statements to that effect. So given the fact that you have the authority to do that in the township, my advice to you is to make sure that everything is right, because even though you've been told that everything's okay, if something happens, you're going to assume absolute and sole liability, and there's no defense to that. I'm just going to let you know, because I've been involved in range development in the past, and I'm a big supporter of guns, and I think it's great that you're allowed to shoot guns in the jurisdiction where you're at. But I want to caution you to take extra precautions, because here's another thing. Even though you're shooting into a berm, which they told me is anywhere from 8 to 12 feet high, is that correct?
Well, the first one is. The backdrop, the big backdrop, is probably over 20 feet.
Okay. Well, I know for a fact that bullets can skip in all different directions, all different heights. So even though you think they're impacting in a designated area, they could be skipping and then getting up into those trees and going over onto the golf course. And I'm just going to caution you that if anything negative happens, if one bullet strays and hits an individual, you probably will lose everything you own. And then I think it's great that you're doing it. I just want you to use caution, and I'm really glad you called, because that shows that you're being responsible about it, and you know you're letting people know about it. And I don't think it's been a frenzied state. It's just been a talk of what's been going on around the community lately.
Yeah, Centerville raided the house and took all my guns, too.
Okay. Well, obviously, you're going to have to get an attorney involved. And I just want to advise you to proceed cautiously and cooperatively, okay?
Yeah.
You really have nothing to hide. There was no wrongful intent on your part.
Yeah.
You're doing things the right way, and it's probably just a matter of time before you and your attorney are able to get things sorted out and everything will be fine. But I would encourage you to go ahead and drop me a line at radio at sim-trainer.com, and maybe I could come out and visit with you, and we could talk about some things you could do to shore up your trap and make things safer and pretty much eliminate that problem. And that, I think, would show another good faith effort on your part to do things the right way.
Okay.
And I'll extend that offer to you, because you're a law-abiding citizen doing the right thing, and just some unfortunate circumstance came up, and I think everybody can work together, and we can get this problem corrected.
Well, definitely. I'll drop you a line next week.
That's great.
It.
All right. Thank you for calling,
Chris.
Thank you.
Chris, thanks very much for calling the show. Let's talk to another Chris, this one in Beaver Creek. Chris, you're on the air with Shooting from the Hip.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hey, we're doing great. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks for your show. I love it.
Great.
Well, my question is, I work for a local armored car company, and I was wondering, while I'm in uniform to and from work, am I permitted to carry my duty weapon?
That would entirely depend on your own company. I mean, their company policy. You'd be carrying openly, so that puts you at a little bit greater risk, but I mean, open carry is legal. I'm not sure I understand what the question is.
Well,
we're
allowed to bring our firearms home.
Right.
When we went through the state training, they recommended that while we were in uniform, that it would be a good idea to travel armed to and from work.
Yeah. The unfortunate dilemma here is that you're not a law enforcement officer, which is specifically covered under the statutes, and you don't have do you have a concealed carry permit?
No, I don't
yet. Okay. You don't have a concealed carry permit, so without the two statutorily authorized methods of carry, you're kind of in a gray area, unfortunately.
Well, you can't even have a loaded gun in your vehicle.
That's
and
right.
Loaded includes anything with ammunition in a magazine. So, yeah, that you really need to get your license to carry concealed. Because that's required to even carry openly in a vehicle.
Yeah, this is something that's come up frequently with security officers, and I'll be honest with you, we let individual officers use discretion when they come into situations like that because we know people like you are law-abiding citizens and you're doing the right thing, and we don't want to take people to jail for doing the wrong thing. However, from the technical aspect of the letter of the law, you would be in violation of the law if you don't have the concealed carry permit. If you have the concealed carry permit, that's going to authorize you to carry it in your vehicle. I would advise you to maybe wear an over jacket or some item over top so that people who pull up next to you aren't going to be necessarily alarmed. Plus, having it covered up gives you a tactical advantage anyways. But even if you didn't, you're going to be okay if you have the concealed carry permit. But without that, you're in that pretty obvious area of the law that's going to potentially be problematic for you.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you for calling the show.
Thank you.
Let's talk to Eric in Miamisburg. Eric, you have a question for us on how fresh ammo should be, yes?
Yes, I do. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thanks for calling the show.
I mean, my beer's got a born-on date, and a jar of olives has a used-by date. I go to the gun show. I don't know how old ammo is, even if I'm buying name brands, good brands. I like to be prepared to shoot with what I practice with. All I know to do is to maybe mark them use first, use second, use third. How many years can you really rely on ammo?
Well, there's really no definitive answer to that. I've shot ammo that's been up to 30 years old if it's been stored in a climate-controlled environment where it's not exposed to extremes in temperature fluctuations, such as in a garage. A lot of people like to stick them in their shelves in the garage. Well, you know, my garage, for example, in the wintertime, it's probably on a real cold day, it might be 20 degrees with low humidity, and in the summertime, it might be 105 degrees with high humidity, and you know what humidity and moisture does to metal. It'll naturally cause condensation to build up and then corrosion, and then it's going to be problematic. That same box of ammo, if it was stored in your house in a climate-controlled environment for 25 to 30 years, probably wouldn't have any indication of wear at all. Now, one other thing I want to just advise you about, the ammo that you carry for your personal protection, the general rule there, just as a matter of protocol, it doesn't really have anything to do with it being going to deteriorate in any way. It's more just functionality. Is about every year you change your personal protection ammo, and then you just shoot up the remaining rounds from the previous year.
And let me tell you that anything that you buy at a gun show now is pretty new stuff, because there hasn't been any around. Any ammunition that was made more than a month ago was sold about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, very
so
good point.
You're not going to have any problem with ammunition that you get at a gun show, at least for quite a while, that's going to be old.
Okay, so it's a fresh start.
Yeah, we really are having a fresh start. We're about ready to take a break, so I want to remind you about the show that's coming up at 3 o'clock about the National Healthcare Town Hall on the National Healthcare Debate. So join WHIO's Jason Michaels and Dr. Patrick Dawson, who just got into here to the studio. Listen to their arguments and voice your concern on the radio. It's the WHIO Healthcare Town Hall Special this afternoon at 3 o'clock. brought to you by New Image Eye Center in Springfield on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
And welcome back to the show. We're having a fun time here. We've got a lot of folks on the call on the line, so let's go right back to the phones, and we'll talk to Nicholas in Huber Heights. Nicholas, thanks for calling the show.
Oh, thank you for having me on. I was just calling. I'm kind of new to the show. I like listening to your show, but I've never really thought about carrying a gun before or shooting a gun before.
Okay.
Now, I was wondering what kind of steps you take to get yourself used to shooting and you know.
Well, that's an excellent question, and it's exactly the right question you want to ask. What we recommend is that people get a class or some sort of a lesson first rather than just going in, getting a gun, and going out and shooting it. I mean, you certainly, when you learned to drive, you did that with somebody helping you through that and getting some lessons and training in a class or whatever, and we recommend the same thing for shooting a firearm. We have, of course, a First Shots class, which is specifically designed for the brand new shooter. And because you've called the show, you can get in that class for no charge. So if you know, that's really what we recommend that you do, is to take a class.
Okay.
So, thanks for calling the show. We've got your name, and you can call down to the range at 293-3914, and then and you can get registered for the next class. Bill in Beaver Creek has a question for us. Bill, are you on the line? Okay, give us what's your question?
I've got a Ruger 10/22 with the factory trigger, which is a little bit stiff, as you probably know. And I'm looking for a replacement or an aftermarket trigger.
Well, what's the actual model? Just the 10/22 is a pistol or rifle?
Carbine.
The carbine, okay. Well, first of all, how much have you shot it?
I've shot it
a few hundred rounds, a few thousand rounds. Okay, and you still think the trigger is heavy?
Probably about a 10-pound trigger.
Yeah, what I recommend you do on that is you contact Ruger and ask what their advice is, because I personally, based on years and years, I don't change triggers or hone triggers. I adapt to the trigger pull, and I find that to be a more accommodating way. And the other issue is if you do an aftermarket alteration to your gun and something would happen, God forbid, but something would happen, that could pretty much open you up to some pretty serious liability. So I would recommend you send an email so that you can get the response in writing as to what they recommend, and they'll likely, if there is such a beast, they'll likely have the replacement part there for you. If you choose to go aftermarket, I would research that to make sure that they've had some T&E in place and testing evaluation where they've been able to put that altered trigger on guns, and they've actually done some firing to determine its functional operation. Does that make sense to you?
Yep.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Good. Well, great. Bill, thanks for calling the show. We appreciate it. Let's talk to Jeff in Union, who's got a question. Jeff, you got some kids you want to teach to shoot, yes?
Well, my background is I don't have that much exposure to firearms.
Okay.
I've listened to your show, and I'm afraid about transferring my opinions about firearms to my kids without properly training them.
Understand.
And what would be the appropriate age to expose them to firearms?
I think that really depends on when do they start being interested.
Okay.
You definitely don't want to try to hide the fact that you have firearms from the kids. That's the worst thing you can do. That adds an air of mystery about it. And what we really want to do is demystify guns.
Right.
How old are your kids?
I have a 13-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 6-year-old.
Okay. Definitely the 13-year-old and the 10-year-old are plenty old enough to get started. 10-year-old is where we usually have the bottom age for our First Shots class, but that's partly because of the guns that we use and just to make sure that they're large enough, their hands are large enough, and they can reach the trigger well.
Okay.
But, you know, if you go to our website at sim-trainer.com/radio, you'll find a link there for the Cornered Cat.
Mm-hmm.
And Kathy Jackson is the author of that site, and she has some excellent information about introducing kids to guns. She starts as early as 3 years old. So, I mean, that's her opinion. And frankly, you know, when you understand where she's come from, having raised five boys, she sort of gets it. Jeff, you've got kids that you started. How early?
Yeah,
did you
I just
start?
Wanted to mention just a couple examples. I have six kids, and they covered the full gamut. I think one came out of the womb naturally curious about guns and everything else, and I've had to satisfy his curiosity about everything ever since he was born. And I got a 21-year-old who, after I satisfied his initial curiosity, could care less, and he shot much more than once or twice in his entire life. So it comes down to their individual interest, curiosity, and where they want to get, how they want to get involved, and how you want them to get involved. But that early age is not a bad thing. But once you get up to the area of, or the age of 10, 12, 13, especially those two that you mentioned, our first shots class would be a tremendous for them to get involved in. And again, we're running a special. I don't know if you happen to catch that. Anybody called in the show would get a free first shots class in any of our upcoming first shots classes for the remainder of the year. And since you called in with two kids, if you want to come with them just to experience what that's all about, and we can give you some ideas, I'd encourage you to get registered for one of the upcoming classes. Just let them know that you called into the show today, and we'll get them involved or get them enrolled in one of the classes, and you can see how we do it, and it can supplement what you're already doing.
Okay, well, I mean, my background with guns is I'm a novice. I've fired one gun in my life.
So. Okay.
That would be even more beneficial for you to come to that first shots class then, and you can see a whole lot that takes place in 3 hours. We'll give you a good basis of knowledge so that you can start that process.
And it's a great family activity. It's a great thing for dads to do with their kids and for moms to do with their kids as well. So, we highly recommend that. And it sounds like your kids are at the age where, especially the older ones, are perfectly ready for the first shots class, and the others, they need to understand the way things operate and the basic rules, the Eddie Eagle rules for what do you do if you come across a gun, you stop, don't touch, leave the area, and tell an adult, and those kinds of things that, you know, we cover that in the class. So.
Okay, great.
All right, great. Thanks very much for calling the show. John in Trotwood, you have a question for us.
Yes, I do. Okay. I took peace officer training years ago when I was a security officer.
Okay.
And we had to take firearms training also.
Right.
So, back then it was okay, and I still go to the range. Now, the thing is, I carry my weapon on the seat, unloaded, it's open, and I carry the ammo in the trunk. Is that still the law?
Is the ammunition in a magazine or not?
No.
Okay. It really should be in a case as opposed to just open, but I mean, certainly locked open is an acceptable means.
John, I want to encourage you. There's really no advantage, the way I see it, to carrying it that way. And if you get yourself a case, then you can carry both the gun in the case and the ammunition in its original container in that same case when you go back and forth to the shooting range, and you won't have to be inconvenienced.
The thing that was different and changed in September is that there's no longer a provision in the law that says ammunition ready at hand. The definition of unloaded is that there is no ammunition in the gun and no ammunition in any magazines or speed loaders that can be used with that gun. So there's no requirement any longer for you to physically separate the ammunition from the gun as long as it's not in the gun and your magazines and speed loaders are unloaded.
Okay, that's what I need to find out then.
Yeah, there's one other advantage to doing that, John, and that's that if some person that was interested would see you having that gun in that capacity, they'd be more inclined to try to break into your car if that was an opportunity down the road. So I encourage you to try to keep that in a case and eliminate that problem.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Thank you for calling.
Great, thanks for calling the show. You know, we're out of time.
We've reached
the end. So we've left a few folks on the air, on the phone. If you're one of those and you'd like to take advantage of that special that we're offering for the free first shots class, we've got your name and where you're from. So you just call the range at 293-3914 or stop by the range tomorrow between 1 and 5, and we'll be able to get you onto that class. Stay tuned right now for the special Radio Town Hall healthcare debate coming up right after the news. With Jason Michaels and Dr. Patrick Dawson, you're listening to AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.